Morning, guys. We closing out on February, and so today is the last day of our dating series. No. Well, maybe we should talk about dating every week. We have talked about, if you've not been here or you have, a reminder, we talked about who will find godly romance. Last week, we looked at when will someone find godly romance. We had a little fun with that and asked, hey, is anybody ready to date? Great. Come get married. And just to show you the importance, how God sees the importance of how we treat one another in the context of relationships. And so today we're going to look at how will somebody find godly romance? So we're going to talk about that. Dating is a new phenomenon. We also looked at that last week. Dating has not been around forever. And so if you go to like a topical index of your Bible, or you try to go find where the Bible talks about dating, it doesn't do it because dating didn't exist back then. We made dating up. And so because of that, we typically make up what we think we should do instead of looking at the wisdom of what God calls us to do in relationships. Dating is new, but even newer in dating is text messages involved in dating. And so something that has made dating even more interesting is people not ending a relationship in person, but through a text message. Raise your hand in here if you have ever been broken up by a text message. Okay, not many people. Few. Right, especially if you're a leader, raise them high. Yeah, okay, yes, it has happened. All right, now we're going to go there. Raise your hand if you have broken up with someone via text message. Raise it high. Okay? All right? Wow. Wow. Man, we'll pull you guys out outside later. We'll have a talking to. Breaking up, period, isn't fun. That's part of the reason why we're talking about this in relationships. Breaking up isn't fun, but some of the ways people have broken up with people is really funny. So we're going to look at some breakup texts. Some of these are old, all right? Bear with me. Some of these are on a way old iOS, but they are still hilarious. So here's a couple. Please don't do this. This is from Bay. You have no idea how important you are to me. Oh, I gave you too many chances. I'm done. I'll do anything. No, forget it. We're octagon. Oh, sorry. LOL. That was hilarious. I meant over, but man, bad autocorrect. See ya. We're still breaking up. Goodbye. Bummer. Double check your text before you break up. Baby, do you want to go on vacation together? Okay, this is inappropriate, but still funny. The AT&T subscriber you were trying to reach is no longer in service. Hey, you moron, you spelled you wrong, right? The AT&T subscriber that you're trying to reach is no longer in service. AT&T is apologizing for their ways. Hey, baby, just wanted to let you know that you're the best boyfriend ever. Huh? What do you mean, huh? I broke up with you 2 weeks ago. Sorry, forgot to tell you. I knew. You didn't know. Now you know. Welcome to the party. I'm breaking up with you. I'm sorry. Huh? It's not you. It's me. You make my heart race, and it's bad for my health. So if you're looking for bad breakup lines, that's one. Here's one. Oh, I love you. We were together. It's time that we break up. Bye. Running away. Did you just break up with me with emojis? Vacation life. Like, seriously? It's one thing to describe a plot of a movie, but to explain to someone your feelings, and then here we go, hey, too many whys, hey, we need to talk. Yeah? Look, our relationship is just like doing push-ups on your knees. It's just not working out. What? So there are some real jerks out there who not only break up through text, but are just like, I'm going to make you, I don't know. There are just some interesting people. Don't take that and go break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend with those. Don't be that guy, okay? Don't break up through a text message. But here's why I do that, okay? The reality in relationships is whatever relationship you're in a dating context or a thing context or talking context, whatever you're going to define that as, if you are pursuing someone romantically, that's either going to end up in marriage or in shambles. And so you're going to either end up living with that person forever or you are going to be heartbroken. Those are your only two options. And most of the time, the relationships that start in this room are going to end up in breakups. Many of us have been broken up with. It hurts. Many of you have broken up with people. Feels way better. But there are people's lives that are involved. And so that's why we talk about dating is not just, ooh, how do I do it well? But how do we do this in a way that honors God? Is dating bad? No. Dating's not bad. Dating's not wrong. But does it make it right for us to do it right now or to do it the way that we want? And like I said last week, this isn't a dating series. It's a series on romance. It's a series on what we seek maybe most is acceptance, value, love. And we think another person is going to do that. And I guarantee you that it won't. But all of us have this lingering thought, man, I don't want to be lonely. I don't want to be that girl who's 47 and just has cats, a one-bedroom apartment. And we laugh, but some of us, that is a deep, deep fear. And so we don't want to be lonely, so we think that we have to cure our own loneliness by going and find someone who will love us, someone who will value and accept us. And so we think that dating will cure that. We think that having this label as a boyfriend or girlfriend is going to cure that. But then what ends up happening is we probably end up lonelier than before. Rejected, dejected, broken, looking for something else that's going to find us, give us life. Another person, a thing, an addiction, a feeling, food, whatever it is. Nothing will satisfy you outside of Jesus. But we keep looking and it gets worse and worse and worse. And so this morning we're going to look at how will a person find godly romance? What can I do as a 6th, 7th, 8th grade kid to go find what God has for me? And there is a way. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to start at the beginning of what God created when it was unbelievable in the garden. So Genesis 2, if you got your Bibles or your phone, open up to Genesis 2. We're going to look at Adam and Eve. We're going to look at what God created and what we can learn from that. So we're going to dive in together. Genesis 2, we're going to start in verse 15. Here's what it says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called every living creature, that was his name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with its flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into woman and brought her to the man. And then the man looked at her and said, whoa, man. She was called woman. Dad joke, just kidding. Then the man said, This is at last bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of a man. And this is a verse that's read often at weddings, and we read it at our fake wedding last week. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Right here, we see, right at the beginning of the scriptures, the second chapter in your entire Bible, we see who God created, which is everybody in this room, man and woman. That fits everybody in here. You are in one of those camps. God made you in his image. And a quick aside before we get to the mushy stuff of romance. Right here, God wants to show us that we are made identified in him. We are made perfectly how he wanted to create us, uniquely how he created us. And we're made for relationship with each other. We are made to reflect the goodness of God and who God is. Who God is he exists in a Trinitarian relationship. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God did not need to create the world and all the people and animals in it because he needed people to worship him. Out of his kindness and goodness and grace, he created you, us, to invite us into the love that already existed within the Godhead. God exists in relationship within himself, and so we are created with a desperate need for relationship. That's why you want to be dating someone or seeking someone out, pursuing someone or in friendship with someone, because that's how God made you. But along the way, we deviated from that plan and made it what we think. And so the other thing that I want you to hear before is God created us man and woman, but God did not create us with the promise that we would be connected with another man or woman. God did not promise that everyone in this room will be married. Some of you will be. Many of you will be. But some of you won't. And that's not because God doesn't love you. That's not because God doesn't have his best for you. God just has something different for you, and that is okay. That's a message both to students and to leaders. Marriage is an amazing thing, but it isn't everything. God is. And from the beginning, we see that God created man and woman to seek him, but created man and woman for each other to bring a beautiful thing for them to enjoy together, which is what we see marriage is. And so, what do we see that Adam does right here at the beginning? Adam, in this passage, how he is walking through this is first we see Adam worked. Adam was created, and it was the best of creation, and God gave Adam a task to do. He gave him a responsibility to do. Adam wasn't just walking around the garden just like trying to invent video games because he was bored to tears. God had him there to work, to cultivate the garden, to work it, it says in the text. He was naming all the animals. And as he was doing that, God realized there was no helper fit for him. Okay, other quick theological aside. That word helpmate that we talk about as a wife, we talk to girls about, that is not a term that is less than the man. A helper is not like a maid or a cook so that the husband has all that he needs. That's not a helper. The helper, the word that's used at helper here and all throughout scripture is the same word that Jesus uses of the Holy Spirit. Again, this Trinitarian relationship, there is a high value on the roles that God gives us. And so as Adam's going and he's working the garden and he's trying to see what he is supposed to do to fulfill faithfully what God had called him, there isn't a mate for him. The hippo just doesn't do it. No matter how many times he gallops through the wilderness riding this hippo or an elephant or whatever, it's still not enough. But what we don't see Adam do, as Adam is there trying to be faithful to God, he's not just like sitting in a corner, just mad. Hey, God, how come you didn't give me somebody like me? How come you didn't give me somebody to fulfill me? I got to do all this work. I got to wait. Who knows how long Adam existed before Eve came? And a lot of times, if we're honest, we kind of sit in this state of, man, I really want a boyfriend or girlfriend. I really want that to fulfill me, to validate me. But what we see Adam do in the garden is just trust the Lord and be faithful and faithfully go about his day naming the animals, even though it was obvious there was not someone like him or something like him. And so he worked and he glorified the Lord in it. And then we see Adam rested. God put him to sleep, took the rib out of him. He didn't realize he didn't have a helper, but God did. And so what Adam did is not only just go to sleep to rest, but he rested in God. He trusted him. Not angry at him, but trusting that God had his best in mind, waiting for God to provide whatever that best would be. And we can learn from that. And then Adam received. He wakes up from the sleep. There's a beautiful woman in front of him. He very easily could have just gone, nah, the flamingos, they need to be fed. He'd be crazy. He goes, oh my goodness, at last, this is someone like me. This is unbelievable. And so he received what God had given him, and then he rejoiced, praising God for the goodness that he already was, but the amazing gift that he had been given and that Eve had been given in Adam. And so this is what we see in the beginning. But you go, wow, Harrison, this is a different culture. We don't live in the perfect garden. We live in this crazy world, and I'm in junior high. I didn't get created as a man with no belly button. Ever thought about that? Does Adam have a belly button? I don't know. So I'm a kid, and I want to be married. I want to be accepted, whatever it is that you're wrestling with. And so the question that we're going to answer today by looking at the wisdom in this story is, how will a person find godly romance? And the first thing that we must do as junior high kids or whoever we are to find godly romance is to work. And I'm gonna define this word probably different than what you think it is, or very similar to what you think it is, but how will someone find godly romance? Work. Be faithful. Do the work that God has given you, just like we watched Adam do. Here's what 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 35 says. I want you to be free from anxieties. This is the ESV. If you're in the NLT, you'll see that it says, I want you to be free from the concerns of life. Oh, yes, that would be amazing. Do you know how crazy my life is, Harrison? You know how crazy my life is, God? Let me be free from those anxieties and concerns. So he goes on. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. His interests are divided. The unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Yeah, I'm stressed out, but I'd love a girlfriend. Yeah, I got too much on my plate, but I'd love to be in that relationship. What we see here is the context of marriage. Again, dating is new, but what Paul is saying here is, hey, those who are not connected deeply in another relationship, specifically a marriage, they're free to glorify the Lord. They don't have the concerns of life of having to care for another person, love another person, serve another person, and are free to serve everybody else. Now, I want to say this because I am a married guy. Marriage is amazing. Marriage is a gift. I love my wife. She is unbelievable. She is not a burden. She is not like, I don't go home and go, oh, dang it. I got to love my wife today. Goodness, should have listened to 1 Corinthians. I don't see it that way. But I will tell you, it is hard. It is different. Being a married guy and having kids, my time looks different because it is given to them to love and nurture those relationships than other friends of mine who are in this room who are single and can give their time more to you guys to love and shepherd you, can give their times to love their friends, to serve this community. It is different. Doesn't make it wrong. But what Paul wants to highlight here is, hey, you are in a season of life in singleness where you have more time than you can ever think or imagine. And you're like, yeah, right. No. You ask someone who's married and they will tell you yes. And I know that you're thinking, oh, I'm in junior high. My schedule's crazy. Yes, you have more time now than you ever will. And so what's the work? The work is not, okay, what kind of person do I like and what personality do I think works with me? And let me figure out the things that my checklist of what I want in a spouse, so then I'll be ready because I've dated 24 people. Now I know I'm ready to be their husband. That's not how you do it, but that's how our culture says to. The work is not to work on finding who that person is going to be, but finding who you are. Discovering who you are in God's eyes and working on yourself. A statement that's said around here a lot is draw a circle around yourself and work on everything inside of that. That's your job, is to submit yourself before the Lord. So the day that maybe God does have marriage for you, you will be ready. If you're married, you have a whole other context to think about. If you're not, you're available to be devoted. And so here's a statement I want you to think of. Right now, you are either devoted or distracted. You have two options. You are either fully devoted to who God is, to his presence in your life, to what he is doing in and through you for your own growth and for the love of others, or you are distracted because you are trying to do that to somebody else. Does that make it bad? No, but it keeps you away from the work of growing as a man of God, growing as a woman of God. Same is true in marriage. You are either fully devoted, Paul was fully devoted to the things of God, or you're distracted by a family. That's not a bad thing. My family is a blessing. God has that for me. But God may have something for you because of the time that you have and the way that you can do it. And so how, right now, the work, as you grow, how do you prepare for a godly marriage? Man, when you get down there, when the when is right, find someone who loves Jesus more than they love you. Don't look for the most beautiful, although I hope they are. Don't look for the best personality, although I hope that they are an amazing person you love to be with. More important than anything else is find someone who loves Jesus more than you. Be someone who loves Jesus more than you love them. And fully give of yourself to who God is so that you will be who he ultimately redeemed you to be. That's how. Then next, so how you will be ready for godly romance is to do the work of preparing yourself. You are preparing now for the spouse you will be someday. If you are in a relationship right now, and I'm using quotes on purpose, a relationship, we can call it that. It's someone you talk to, sure. If you're in a relationship right now, the odds are that person is not your wife, but someone else's wife, not your husband, but someone else's husband. And 100%, you are someone's husband or wife potentially someday. And so the work that you have is to prepare who you will be by working on who you are, by submitting to the God who is. So how do you be prepared? Work. The next is rest. Allow the Lord to bring you romance. Don't try to get it for yourself. Don't try to take the hippos and the elephants and all the things that you see and try to form them together to be what you think that you need. As Adam did, rest in who God is and let God bring what he thinks that you need, whether that's marriage or singleness. There's a phenomenon right now. There's an article that I read recently. It's an older article, and so the statistics are probably even bigger, but most relationships of students your age have very little physical talking involved, but again, are all done on text messages. That says that on average, a dating boyfriend and girlfriend relationship will have 300 text messages between each other in one day. That's crazy. And maybe that doesn't sound that crazy to you, but these are relationships that maybe last a week. This article said that a long relationship in junior high is about a month. And why I say that is because most of these relationships are not like intentionally diving in to get to know someone to be ready for marriage, but just going, I want the girlfriend label. I want the boyfriend label. I want to be valued. I want someone pursuing me. But there isn't really depth of relationship. And so rest. Don't try to make that for yourself, but wait on the Lord. Here are a couple of scriptures I want to give you. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. There's a different one up here. Unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. If he watches over a city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Let the Lord do the work, not us. Psalm 37:7. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who will prosper. Don't worry about the wickedness that comes. Be still. Wait on the Lord. Be with him and trust him. couple more. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. He made you, so trust him. He made who you are. He made what you want, even though some of that is tainted by sinful desire. He created you, so why not trust the Creator to bring you what is best for your life? Rest in him. And then specifically in the context of relationships and even much of the danger that comes with the relationships, Song of Solomon 8:4 says, do not awaken love until the time is right. This phrase of do not awaken love is seen in Song of Solomon 8 times. A warning of, hey, love is very powerful. Love is very strong. Love wraps you up in emotion. Love is unbelievable, but if it's done too early, immaturely, in a way that is not healthy, it is going to lead to a ton of hurt and brokenness. And some of you may not believe that warning and may have to go through it and experience it to believe it. And some of you can just trust in the goodness of God and in the men and women who have gone before you and say, hey, it's just not worth it. And we'll walk in wisdom and we'll see that God's promises are true and that he loves you and he's not trying to rip you off, but he just wants you to rest in him. And then when you rest in him, you are ready to receive what God has given you. It's romance, dating, but pursuing someone else is not like shopping for the right product. All right, you're not going into the mall of the women that are out there and the men that are out there and going, all right, what do I like? No, not that one, not that one, not that one. As if you're like watching this fashion show of people before you and personalities and attractiveness. You are not shopping for the right product, but receiving the gift that God has already given you. James 1, 16 through 17. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights. God is sovereign. He is good. He created you and he has created other people. He has created other men, other women that he is working in their life to potentially give you in marriage. But we just try to go, okay, who's it going to be? Who do I want? What do I want? What do I need to think that we have to fulfill this for us in dating or in marriage? And then when we do that, we can rejoice. We can glorify him for who he is. Proverbs 5:18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. God will provide. If he has marriage for you, he will provide a great thing for you to enjoy so that you can rejoice in this amazing thing. It's not, oh, if you follow God's way and you wait for him, you're going to kind of get the rejects and the ugly ducklings. And I think that's kind of what we're afraid of. Oh, then I've got to get the good guy, the nerdy guy, the good Christian guy. No, you can rejoice in who God has for you. And so guys, if the who is right and the when is right, the how is easy. I'm going to say that again. In the context of our whole series, if the who is right and the when is right, how you find romance is super easy. But a lot of us are so consumed with the how. Oh, I just want to know and I just need that and I want that. Then we just blow past the when because we think the when is now and we're willing for the who to be anybody that's available and willing. Anybody that'll accept me. Anybody that'll love me. Anybody that'll want me. And we tend to just give ourselves away instead of just giving ourselves to the Lord. If you haven't gone back and heard some of these, I think you'll be encouraged by what we've been teaching from God's word. Your leaders can give you some of those notes. You'll talk about some of that this week. But more than just going through all the things that we've told you the last few weeks, I want to remind you of what God wants to tell you about this. What are you supposed to do in your relational context when you're looking for romance, when you're looking for love? How do you date? You love Jesus. Oh, cool. Yeah, the Sunday school answer. No, it's not a Sunday school answer. It's the same answer for how you do anything. How do you love your parents? You love Jesus. How do you stop looking at porn? You love Jesus. How do you get over an eating disorder? You love Jesus. How do you find the person that you're supposed to marry? You love Jesus. How do you honor your teachers? How do you be a good friend? How do you get out of any sin struggle in your life? You love Jesus. It's not magic, it's transformational. It's the gospel. And there are practical things in each of those about dating, about getting out of sin and walking in freedom. But overarchingly, guys, the gospel is not just eternal life and a Sunday thing. What we want to do at Wake is to help you have an understanding of a faith that's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and not just when you show up to church. Life with Christ is consuming. And when you do that, your life will be consumed by him. Your life will be different. Everyone's life around you will be different. How do you find godly romance? By modeling the same way that he loved you. He pursued you. You don't have to get a breakup text to receive the pain of what going through a relationship is like. You can read this text and see how he pursues you through your brokenness to give you far more than you could ever ask or imagine. What God does is he has given you himself. He has done the work for you. You don't have to work to better yourself, to be good with him. He has done the work so that he gives you the ability to rest in him by receiving the gift of grace that he has offered to you through his son, Jesus, so that you can rejoice in who he is. That's the God who loves you. And if you do that, it will go well with you. Not just in dating, but in life. And so, guys, we want to help you process through romance and relationships. We can't tell you whether you should date or not. The scripture doesn't say that. But I hope that you have heard us and your leaders when we look at God's word of who God is and what he calls us to. Is this right for me to operate in my life at this time? And then, guys, see that the gospel is true for not just Sunday conversations, but everything in our lives. Let me pray and we'll roll. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God of love. You are a God that lovely and lavishly pursues us and pours your love out on us. God, thank you that you care for our desires, the people that we like, the ones that we want to send Valentine's to, the ones that we think right now we want to marry. You know that, you are in that, and you love us. Thank you for your scriptures that we can look to wisdom. Thank you even just for the picture of Adam and Eve today and how Adam walked through life the way you created him and how we can model that to pursue someone else. Give us patience in that. Give us wisdom. Give us grace. And Lord, above all, help us believe that you are good, that you do love us, that you're not trying to rip us off. If there are kids in this room who don't know you, who don't know of the amazing love story of the crazy love of God, I pray they'd ask somebody in here or come up afterwards. Lord, thank you that we can love because you first loved us. Help us to do that, not just in dating relationships, but in everybody that we are in relationship with or in contact with. Help us to bleed the goodness of God because of how you bled for us and rose again. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.